Good.
I lost something.
Show me beer, whatever, he needs some beer.
I made my own beer once.
It only takes.
I think it was like 25% alcohol.
One, two.
I made my own beer once when I was in college.
There's some really crazy.
With the chairman of the music department.
Ferment for yourself.
Okay.
So powerful.
Ready?
I
said, we're on.
And even though they actually had no records, they didn't take that. Alcohol,
percent, it was good cost.
Yes.
Eats up all the starch sugars.
Okay, Harvey, ready to roll?
Eventually.
We have to sell it?
Give me a.
We have to sell the roll.
Oh, the roll, yes, you sell the roll. Absolutely, sell the roll.
Huh?
Sell it.
Sell it.
Okay. Good morning, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Today's share with the world going
crazy.
And, just the amount of missiles that were fired at Israel over Shabbos in one day was more than, I think, a week's long attacks during the Iraqi war, and much more dangerous with these drones, attack drones, which are very, very dangerous. And although I see, people send all these clips of how cute it is, how powerful the vaunted Israeli defenses and the American Air Force and British Air Force.
But don't get it from
99.9% of them.
Right, which is great, which is great.
There's still about 30 people.
But we can't rely on anybody, as we clearly see from American politics. Only, obviously, we have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means we need Schosim, we need Rachmanis, and very much so, we need Schosim, and whatever we could do to learn these days before Pesach is a big deal, and should be a Schos. Our learning should be a Schos. Lamaisa, today's share, genesis of today's share, it's interesting. Past few years, we've given shirim highlighting a seder by a certain Ohr Gadol. And till now, the people that we picked were people contemporary, people who might have passed away not too long ago, people whom you could speak to, people who were by their seder. Today's share, which is by the Seder, by the Pesach Seder of the Vilna Gaon, there's nobody in this room, there's nobody alive today whose grandparents could have been there. Obviously, we're going back generations, spanning the Groa's Nifter, 1797. Right? Right. And really picking the Gra is a curious point, that till now we haven't talked about someone from those ages as a contemporary, type share at a Seder of the Gra. What does it mean to be by a Seder of the Gra? Really, this share was given to me by one of our listeners. One of our listeners may not be here by the share, but somebody who listens quite frequently to the share. Just as an aside, the Milo of it being online, I got a call this week from somebody in London. He happened to listen to a share we gave probably a year and a half ago. The topic intrigued him, and he was following up on some of the questions there. And I was like, well, international following.
Rabbi, don't let it go to your head.
Right? It's and mostly
not
the London.
Right. Well, it wasn't Palestinian.
It was nice Jewish fellow.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
But Lamaisa, someone came to me with, I asked, who would you like to hear a share about? Which figure? So he said, what about the Vilna Gaon? So when he first said it, I said, we usually do people more contemporary, not the Gaon. But I thought about it, and I think it is very kedai to do the Vilna Gaon. And I'll give you a few reasons. Firstly, the Vilna Gaon's Minhagim are things which are clearly kept today. There are people today, a significant amount of people, that carefully take the Minhagi Agra and keep them. For example, there isn't, even there's a Siddur Vilna, Siddur Agra, that people daven from, has the Agra. There are yeshivas. The minhagim of that, the minhagim of those yeshivas are based in the Gra. One yeshiva in particular that some people might be familiar with, the Yeshivas Chaim Berlin, where Rav Huttner, the person really put the yeshiva on the map, he wasn't the founding of the yeshiva, but he was the main influence in the yeshiva, kept minhagi ha-gra, and the yeshiva follows those. One of the factors of that, you know, the yeshiva that davens Nusa Ashkenaz, topic we always talk about, what's relevant coming up Pesach, Chol Moed, there the yeshiva is makbid that nobody puts on tefillin in the Beis Medrash on Chol Moed. It's if the daven there ben azmanim might be banished to the upstairs women's section to put on tefillin.
But here too in this community.
In other places. Yeah. Okay, but that might be more Nusach Svard.
Yeah,
this is a Nusach Ashkenaz yeshiva, which they adopt Minhagi Agra. In Eretz Yisrael, there are many Minhagim in certain areas, right? Tefillin itself is the perfect example too. They very much keep Minhagi Agra on that. Zmanim, right? There are many people that will take the later Zmanim of the Gra on a daily basis for their davening, Kriyashma. And one of the biggest poskim in the world today, Moshe Sternbach, is actually counts himself as a direct descendant of the Gra. But also was always into very much the Minhagim of the Gra and the like. So the first and foremost, people that keep the Minhagi Agra is very relevant today. So I think it is, for that alone, is a perfect point to do the share. There's one other reason that hit me years ago that I think it's Kedai to talk about the Gra. Rav Asher Arieli Shlita holds an amazing title. Okay, I'm not talking about Daf Yomi. I'm talking about in the world of yeshiva. I think he probably outpaces them too. Rav Asher Arieli has been giving share to hundreds and hundreds, and now it's up to 1,000 people daily. This one man gives share every day in the Meir Yeshiva. Amazing, amazing sight. There's a big room. People sit there. People sit on the stairs. The entire buildings, like everywhere you turn, there are people crammed in to hear a share from Rav Asher Arieli. Amazing, amazing Talmud Chacham, Rebbe Namir Yeshiva, Tzaddik, amazing person. I was also, I used to go to a private share of his, I think close to 30 years ago.
Wow.
I was a Bachar in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Asher,
was that private share with like 800 people?
No, the private share was actually is quite amazing. His regular daily share is given in Yiddish in the mirror. Just recently, maybe even this past month, he started also offering a share in Hebrew. He doesn't speak English. But I give two shirim, one in Yiddish, which the Americans go to, and some Israelis. But now he also offers a Hebrew share in the mirror itself. But I used to go to a private share, which he gave in Lashon HaKodesh. It was actually quite fascinating. He gave that share privately to a group of Bachrim that really came from Dati Lumi backgrounds. And normally at that age of 18 years old, they'd be off serving in the army. These are boys that dedicated themselves to learning Torah. And they switched from Dati Lumi yeshiva to a, you know, more regular yeshiva. And they still looked like, you know, from the other side of the Haredi world. Or Usher specifically gave them share twice a week, private share. I don't know. I don't remember. But Lamaisa, amazing thing. Lamaisa is an amazing person. I was lucky to be in his house a couple of times. I remember one time I was by his house. A lot of times you go to Adam Gadol's house, They'll have pictures up of other gedolim. Look at the pictures of Chaim Kanievsky in his sukkah, and there'll be pictures of his father as a stipler, and maybe Rabbi Yoshev and other gedolim through the ages. Chaznish. In Rabbi Yoshev's house, there are no gedolim pictures on the walls. Nothing. Okay. It takes two, you know, him and his Rebbetzin designed their house, what pictures they have up. But I remember this, there were no gedolim pictures up on the walls, but there was one picture in a frame on like a curio in his dining room. What was the one picture in a frame in a curio in the dining room? The Vilna Gaon. I never spoke to him about this, but my take on why that was the only picture. He only has one picture in his house of gedolim, I remember. Maybe he has a family picture with his father-in-law, Reb Nachum, or his grandfather-in-law, Chaim Shmulevitz, or his great-grandfather-in-law, Reb Lazer Yudel, a lot of chashma people, or his great-great-grandfather-in-law, the Alter Slabatka. His wife comes from quite amazing stock. But the only one picture was of Vilna Gaon. I think the idea was that that's where he put his sights. The Vilna Gaon is from a different era, and he's somebody that we could really all appreciate and look up to. It's 200 years ago, but many people consider the Gra on the level of Rishon. He was a gift to the generation that he was born in. They say the stories. He was born with obviously an amazing memory, photographic memory. By the age of 10, he mastered Shas. By the age of 20, he was a posek. He wrote his...
What do you say about
Biuri? Huh?
Rabbi,
he wrote a whole sefer, Biuri HaGra.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Did he receive smicha for bar mitzvah yet?
It's not a joke.
No, I mean...
But yeah.
He probably got smicha.
He's right. Also famously known, he was an expert in math. One of his math theorems is something in the textbooks. They quote... They even say that he wrote some mathematical book, and they question when he did it. They said that was his bathroom activities. Now,
math for dummies.
Lemaisa, the Vilna Gaon is quite amazing, and this year will not do justice to all the different minhagim and halachos that the Gra has when it comes to Pesach. You could easily, and there are many svarim written about the Vilna Gaon. You could probably make a whole sefer just coming to explain all of his different minhagim on Pesach. So today's share, we're going to hopefully scratch the surface, touch upon some of the things that the Gra uniquely has about Pesach, and try to explain some of them, but many of them probably will not reach the depths of understanding. So let's first start Shabbos Haggadah. This Shabbos, there's a minhag in many, many places to read the Haggadah. Well, quite major minhag, pretty far stretched minhag, far and wide. There are a lot of people that do the Haggadah, parts of the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah. The Vilna Gaon brings down not to. Why not? So those who end up not doing it, you can rely on the Gra. Why did the Gra not read Haggadah and Shabbos Haggadah? So he says, one of the paragraphs, actually we mentioned this the other day, Yachol Rosh Chodesh, we read in the Haggadah, says, Zahavmin, you should start reading the Haggadah, even from Rosh Chodesh, do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. But the Pasuk says, Talmud Lomar Bavar Zeh will nemar b'shah she's matzo marim v'nachum l'fanacha. He understands, it's pretty befeirish there in the Haggadah, that we only do the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim only when we have matzo and mar in front of us. Since on Shabbos Haggadah, you don't have the matzo and the marer. So we don't do the Haggadah either. Perhaps others will say, we're just doing a part of it, Zecher. But the Gra's point is, look, the Haggadah is something, and do I do matzah and maror? Shabbos Haggadah. So I also shouldn't do reading the Haggadah. That was his position. Fascinating.
This is saying you can't do so-and-so until you have a so-and-so.
Yes. Bedikas Chametz. This is also a topic we've talked about over the years. Many people have a minhag to go and put out 10 pieces of chametz. Right? We know there are even some people, be careful what I say, that fall prey to good marketing in Jewish stores. And they'll buy a Bedikas Chametz kit, but the kit includes 10 pieces of chametz. You know, everyone's trying to sell their chametz,
yeah,
get rid of their chametz. Some smart entrepreneur, Jewish entrepreneur, says, why don't I sell people chametz? And he sells it, it's wrapped, but pre-wrapped, 10 pieces of chametz, you can put them around the house. I would buy it potentially if they have what they call the eye tags.
Oh, so that if you lose,
because you lose one,
they can zero in on it.
Right.
Yeah, but
that's the worst thing.
It's also a good
Your chance. House is clean for Pesach.
That would be modern technology.
In my family, I don't know if my wife lets them do this. My wife gives out the chametz to the kids. Each one of the kids gets to hide chametz in a cool spot for daddy not to find.
And then they forget where they go. Wait,
we write yes. it down.
Oh, okay.
I write it down.
It's okay. Yeah, if tomorrow, you're buying that.
You're an accountant. I see.
Gemara talks about what if you found 9 pieces out of the 10.
Yes, that's a big problem. But it happens to be the Vilna Gaon was against putting out 10 pieces.
It's fine if you buy the kit. It's probably from last year in
yeah.
the middle anyway.
Yeah.
They didn't sell fun.
But yeah, the Vilna Gaon was against people putting out the pieces. Because the understanding behind the people put out the pieces is, look, if your house is crystal clean, you don't have anything there. So then when you're looking for a chametz, you're not going to find. So maybe that's an issue of bracha v'atala. I'm looking for chametz, I'm not going to find chametz. But the gra, and to be honest, the gra is not the first to come up with this idea, it's Magen Avraham. But it says the bracha is not based on you finding chametz. It's researching for it. And therefore, even if you don't find, it's okay. And therefore, you would have a minute not to put out the 10 pieces.
Didn't your yeshiva also hold that way?
Yes, there are many people that follow the ground. And I'll let him look it up.
I would kill that guy's business.
Yeah, yeah.
Never.
But look, I'm not here to help his business.
There are other businesses.
But I'll help the caterers. I put on the sheet 2 very interesting points. I happen to be a Bukhar. I don't know anyone else in the room a Bukhar? Okay. We got one other.
Harvey.
Okay. But Lamaisa, a Bukhar Erev Pesach is a big deal. Is you really have a chiyuv to fast. And there are some that do it even for their children, below bar mitzvah sons or Bukharim. Fast for them
even
to
on sparks with
yeah, right, right. So there's a chiyuv to fast. So the common minhag is you go to a siyum that someone's making, and okay, you go to the siyum, and you're since you're part of that party, so you get exempted. Post can say that means you really have to be there at the siyum. You can't walk in at the end and like, oh, there's still food left. Good. No, it doesn't work. You have to be a participant in the actual siyum, be there when the person finishes what he's making a siyum on. It's very questionable. Just joining on a siyum, is that allowed? Just do it over the phone, online. During COVID, there were some poskim that permitted that. But really, it's not so simple. I remember the same time during COVID that there were people that were listening to siyums over the phone. But most posts we're saying, ideally, a person should finish something by themselves. Because it's hard to say that you're really participating if you're just doing it over the phone. But what happens, though, I'm a little nervous about this myself, but I think it should be covered. I'll just double check. I have to be going away to a desert for Pesach, Bezal Hashem. And what happens if the desert knows making a scene? So normally I myself am the one who makes the seema actually over here in Yeshiva, but I got a little busy this year, a few things going on, and I wasn't planning. I figured, okay, whatever, someone else make it. I'm going to the desert. Hopefully someone will make it, otherwise I better start learning quick.
I'd be shocked if there wasn't somebody here making this.
Yeah. But the Vilna Gaon has a very interesting two etzas to help a person who's Bechor and does not have a seam to go to on Erev Pesach. Now you're going to say, Rabbi, your two etzas are not perfect. It might be easier to find a seam. It might be right. But check it out. Look at what it says on the sheets. Minig Pashakan, Kiyosakadiz Vilna, Shebe Erev Pesach, Kichayesh Pidgin Aben, Afilo Shalom Bismano, Abacharim Ochlin Sham, Alpi Hagra. Testified the minog in Vilna was if someone was making a pidgin aben, then a bechor doesn't need to go to a siyum. The sudas mitzvah of a pidgin aben would have the same effect and exempt him from fasting for that day.
You're gonna rely on those odds,
huh?
Right. You're gonna rely on those odds.
So Harvey says to me, "Come on, look at the odds, Rabbi. How often do you have a pidgin aben?" There are some people that never go to a pidgin event. Right?
They're better on.
If you're a Kohen and a Levi, okay, if Kohen, you could be involved in a pidgin event. But if you're a Levi, your family is exempt from pidgin events.
They're better odds in Las Vegas for other things than
pidgin. Okay. So that's one. That's I started the first one. Second one is a little more common. V'chol shekein sha'olchim b'sudas mila avshalo b'zmano. You have a bris, even though that bris was pushed off. Was pushed off the Erev Pesach. Fascinating. Here, the way this is said over is that, yes, certainly a bris would count, but they do write, this is from one of the Haggadahs of the Gra. It says that the Gra wouldn't accept on the Siyum Masechta, even if you, the Messiah, are the one who's making it. It's a little backwards. We always talk about a Siyum, but really in Halacha, it's actually not so simple. Is a Siyum enough of a Simcha to push off a fasting? So here the Gra, I would say, has a Kula and a Chumra. He has a Kula, people don't know about it, the Bris could also work, even Shlo Bezmanu. But here, the Gra happens to be against making a Siyum. That's what's reported. So really going to a Siyum is not sufficient, even if you yourself are the one making the Siyum. It's one thing I could hear you say, okay, just going to the Siyum, maybe that's not enough. Sounds like the way they're quoting over the Minhag HaGra was even if you are the one making the Siyum, that's not enough. So that would mean the Bechor, if he wants to get off the hook, would have to find himself a Bris to go to.
Is it possible that even in the day of the days of the Gra, people were kind of faking siyumin to squeeze it so that it fit just exactly at the time it was?
That could be part of it.
Here
in the Sefer, in this Haggadah, it doesn't give an explanation of what was the reason behind this. But that could be one.
Because that's what happens nowadays. Like right. Summer camps
are also, they also were better at learning in pretty much every way back then. You'd probably have more people making legitimate siyumim more frequently.
Could be.
We've done away with the concept of fasting Erev Pesach.
Right.
Nobody does it anymore.
Correct. But you see from here, the Vilna Gaon seems to say that it's not so simple to do away with. Yeah. In other words, if the way you do away with it is by going to a siyum, sounds like he's not a fan. Now, is the Minhag HaOlam to rely on Siyums? The answer is yes.
I mean, would he also say it's different if you're making a Siyum on one thing versus something else?
Like, it's not clear. I would like to do more research on this.
If you're making a Siyum with Kol Torah Kula.
But the Gra here comes out, this Minhag HaGra is a Chumrah. Right? You don't usually find people that going to Bris at a digital event. But for sure, if you have the choice, I mean, it's an interesting question. The research also, are people against a bris and a pidgin aben? So if you have the choice between the two, bris or siyum, where should I go? The Gra would tell you to go to the bris. But shall others say not?
If you have a choice of a horse or a pigeon, then it's even.
So I'm not saying that. Yeah. But perhaps in the girl's world. Now, that's, I'm going to start things before I get to the actual Seder. I want to do as many topics, and then this I'll do this actual Seder last. But I can't resist doing the Seder plate. Now, the Seder plate, there are different minhagim, how to arrange the plate. Now, probably most people use the minhag of the Seder plate they buy. Whatever Seder plate they buy, they're doing that minhag. Now, to be honest, right, there are different minhagim, different things. You know, this is the first example that comes to mind for a moment. Recently, the yeshiva did a nice chesed to a community where they lent out to the community a Sefer Torah. Why do they have to lend out to the community? It's a major community, a major shul. I assume that shul probably has, I assume they probably have three Sefer Torah at least in the shul. I'll ask you afterwards. Or Hollywood people. But the yeshiva sent, lent out a Sefer Torah because the Rav came to the yeshiva that his Sefer Torah written Nusach Ari, which is not L'chachila if you're not Hasidic.
You're talking about the
Ksav. Ksav of the Sefer Torah was Nusach Ari.
He came to me first.
Oh. And you didn't give him?
Didn't work yet.
Okay. So... Lamaisa, that's a funny story. Lamaisa, the shul, came to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva graciously gave him a Sefer Torah. But there's so many things, okay, just, people don't look into these aspects. Like, do you realize what the Ksav is? It's different than Hakim. Nusach Ari is not really accepted outside of Hasidic circles. Similarly, Seder plates. Who's deciding how to arrange a Seder plate? The person, the manufacturer who's having a Seder plate made in China, what will sell the most on? Okay, Hasidim buy more than the Litvak, so they'll make it this way. You know, in the old days, people themselves would just arrange a Seder plate. Take a plate, put maybe a few dishes around, do it your own way. So there are different minhagim. This is the minhag HaGra of how we would do it. You know, the Mara on the right, Charoset on the left, the egg and the Zerah on the counterclockwise corners. That's the way I ended up doing it. But the fascinating point, he also had his matzos on the plate. But he only had two. Very interesting. We all have three. Why do we have three? So this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch already. That
you're breaking one and you want two complete for your mitzvahs.
Is that Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch says you have three. The reason behind three is to have one you break with Yachatz, and your other two to have Lach and Mishnah. The Vilna Gaon takes the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam that no, you're supposed to have Lach and Mishnah, true. And you're supposed to have a broken matzah, true. But that's exactly what we're supposed to have. Two. The lechem mishnah should consist on Pesach of lechem oni, of broken bread. Bread that's broken. So if you just have your lechem mishnah, two full matzahs, and a side and a broken piece of matzah, so then your lechem oni is not part of the action here. Now you might have broken it there, but no, but that has to be part of your Shnayim Mikvah, of your Lacha Mishnah. So the Gra says there's only two matzahs. You break the top one, keep the bottom one, put the other half away for Afikomen, but that's your Lacha Mishnah.
No three matzahs.
Now look, in the Gra's world, saving you on matzahs too. Well, order less.
$20 a piece.
Yeah, no joke.
Right, the $47 a pound.
You still have to pull one out of the box to do the Hillel sandwich.
What? Yeah, okay. You're going to end up using extra matzah. Okay. But. Okay. So that's your Seder plate. Now, once I started talking about matzah, maybe I'll add to that. The Vilna Gaon has a major, major shita when it comes to matzah. And, okay, if till now you thought I'm lightening your load of how much matzah to buy, now you see why the Gra, we talked before about the Gra maybe putting, you know, the chametz sellers out of business, but he gives good money to the matzah sellers. The Vilna Gaon holds the following shita. Major, major shita, it's his.
Yeshir.
No, different than that. The Vilna Gaon holds every single piece of matzah that you eat from the night of the Seder until the end of the holiday of Pesach, all 8 days, every single piece of matzah you eat, you're mekayim a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. I'll say that again. According to the Vilna Gaon, every single piece of matzah you eat over Pesach is mekayim a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. That's super major. Huh? I'm going to get to that in a second. Hold on. According to the Gra, many people hold that's an Avera, but I'll get to that. The Vilna Gaon says all matzah a person eats over Pesach is chiv. Now, what's very interesting is that, you know, they use a halacha that the first night the matzah is a chova, the rest of Pesach is a reshus. A simple way to understand reshus means you don't have to do the mitzvah. If you do it, you get credit. But not that it's a full-flung d'oraisa chiyuv that you get major schar. No, it's, you know, some reshus. The Gra says it's not, you don't read it, reshus means there's no chiyuv. It just means relative to the first night is an absolute chiyuv regarding the Seder. But there's still another layer of a chiyuv, a full chiyuv, the rest of the yontif. Now, where the Vilna Gaon gets this clearly from, this position, there is tons and tons of literature written on that. For that alone, you could fill a sefer. Basically, from the times right after the Vilna Gaon, Cheshek Shlomo, other great rabbanim in Vilna, all try to pilpul and hak about this shita of the Gra. Where does it come from? What's the basis of it? But there's no question about it. That's what the Vilna Gaon held. So every piece of matzah you eat, a lot of people over Pesach, you know, what's there to eat? Most of the time, there's nothing to eat besides matzah. Well, here's the good news. Every piece of matzah you eat is a mitzvah, right? If it's a question, should I do potatoes or matzah? The Gra would tell you, have some matzah.
So he's not saying that there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to eat matzah every single day during Pesach. He's saying if you eat it, you're fulfilling a d'oraisa, a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Yeah, I'm.
It's like where it sits us theoretically.
No, I think it's more than that. So, that's exactly. I was wondering how, when you know, language is something so delicate, mm-hmm. the way people express themselves. So the first half of your statement was parif. But I would not compare it to tzitzis. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, nowadays
it's
closer to
tzitzis. In other words, if you're wearing a four-cornered garment.
Right. So that's not really a chovah. That's more of a classic rishos. Yeah. We do it to mechayev ourselves.
If you have a four-cornered garment on, you're chayev tzitzis. If you're going to eat matzah, forget the tzitzis analogy. If you're eating, he's saying the mitzvah is you must eat matzah every day. Or when you eat it, you are fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa.
The second way.
Yes.
But.
Yeah, because it's 7 days
you show
mm-hmm. It says that.
Yeah, it also says
that. Yeah, I'll tell you. All right, Berger, you bring up a very good comparison. Tzitzis. I actually found. Is it the Cheshek Shlomo, the Binyan Shlomo? One of the Vilna Dayanim discussed their issue, the comparison to tzitzis. And there they even challenge a different way. If the Gra is correct that every time you eat matzah, it's a mitzvah, why don't I make a bracha on that?
Yeah.
And what do you do by tzitzis? So you do make a bracha.
You make a bracha.
So how come, according to the Gra, if there's a chiyuv to eat matzah to the whole Pesach, so besides the hamotzi you're making, you should make al chiyuv matzah
every time you eat.
Every time you eat.
Didn't you say you don't make a bracha when you put on the tzitzis katan for putting on the
top? Excellent. You're right. You're right. 100% right.
Yeah.
Right. That's only because we're wearing a talis. Let's say there'll be a day, for whatever reason, you're not going to put on talis. You can't daven now. Can't daven. Yeah. But you are going to wear your tzitzis. So a day like that, you wouldn't make a bracha on your talis katan. You would. I'll give you an example of that day.
Flying on an airplane.
No.
Soldiers.
No. Okay, yeah, good.
You're sick.
I'm giving you an example. You've gone to Israel, but I don't know if you're going to be a soldier. Mm-hmm. But on Tisha B'Av, we don't put on our talis till Mechatayim. That morning when you wake up and you put on your talis katan, that's the day to make a bracha on it. Mitzvah. People forget that sometimes. Get caught up in that day. But back to our matzah. So the Gra says there's a mitzvah to eat matzah the whole day. Now you ask, what about knedlach? What about matzah bride? So here's a good one for you. The Vilna Gaon was pro Gebrox.
My kind of guy.
Now, you find the wrong circles. Wrong, I put that in quotes. They see you eating Gebrox. Not only do they say it's out of mitzvah, they told you it's not veira.
They call it tzomet smach.
Right. The Gra would say not only is it not an avera, seemingly you eat something like matzah brai, which is definitely very much matzah dik. Right? L'chora, the Gra would say you got a mitzvah matzah. Right? Something you would wash on. See, sometimes you could have something that's made with matzah meal, that's mazonos, or... But something you would wash on, like matzah brai.
You wash on matzah brai?
Okay, that's a whole discussion.
That's a real matzah.
Possible a kisne,
yeah,
this is a whole
kind of stuff
discussion.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the idea about the Gra eating Gebrox is 100% verifiable. Because the Chaim V'Loshin writes about it. Now, what's fascinating about the Gra was somebody that people were tremendously machshav in his times. And after he passed away, there's a sefer called Maisa Rav. It's been reprinted in multiple different editions and stuff. Maisa Rav really has the Talmidim of the Gra expressing what they saw the Gra do. So they very much were looking to see the Gra's actions in halacha. So Chaim V'Loshin himself went on Pesach to check out, does the Gra eat Gebrox? And the answer was yes. He said, there's no problem. He spoke to him about it. Okay, next.
I'm really hearing that there was a conclusion to the issue of if the Gra holds that eating matzah, anytime you eat matzah, it's a mitzvah midoraisa, why would you not say matzah?
Again, you could write an entire sefer just on understanding the Gra's minhagim on Pesach, and that's one of the biggest questions. There's just tons of ink on just on that. Wow. So I'm not coming to explain that.
Oh,
but that it's given, it's a mitzvah, it's given you to make a bracha. Now,
it's beyond the scope of this lecture.
I want to quickly get to the Seder, but there's one more point I'll get to because it really goes beyond the Seder. Such a fascinating thing. We all know there's a minhag not to eat matzah before Pesach. And for sure, there's an absolute Isser in Erev Pesach, but there's Minhagim before Pesach, whether it's from Rosh Chodesh, before, right. The Gra was into those Minhagim, yes. He also wouldn't eat matzah before Pesach. But listen to this one. I don't know of anyone who keeps this. The Vilna Gaon was machmir not to eat matzah after Pesach. He had the Minhagim both ways. Not to eat before, and not to eat after. To separate, because since matzah is so chashiv, the Vilna Gaon went out of his way to make this line of demarcation. Before Pesach, I'm not eating it. After Pesach, I'm not eating it. I'm just eating it the entire Pesach, because this is the mitzvah, and I got a mitzvah on every bite. Not only that, The Gra went out of his way to have a Ni'ilas Chag. He would have Shalosh Shudos on the last day of Yom Tov, he would wash for a third Suda, night, day, and evening. He would wash and have matzah to be Mekayim, the last licks of matzah.
So he wouldn't have matzah.
That's the same as the Tachini you say going out of the Suda.
Yes. Now, I only have a few minutes left. I want to quickly run through the Seder with the Gra. And you see, it could spend easily multiple shirim going through the grub. He spent the whole share. We didn't even touch the Seder. We got around it. Let me just quickly go through the Seder. One of the first things that comes out different between the Gra and all other people, again, most people obviously don't do this, is by karpas, we all know we wash our hands before we dip. And we wash without a bracha. Sometimes you have people that just by nature go and they make a bracha. They say, oh no, I made a bracha. Don't say that. The Vilna Gaon held the halacha, you should make a bracha. So if a person happens to make a bracha, you should, okay, if that's not your minute, don't do it. But there's Yesh al Milisma, if that's the Gra, it's not a regular bracha latala.
the bracha on the wash.
Huh?
At what point can you talk?
So you could talk after you dip. Yeah. Now, if you need something, you could always talk for that. The Vilna Gaon, very interestingly, writes this allusion, right? In general, the comparison, the one should not eat matzah in Erev Pesach, that it compares it to someone who's with his wife before he gets married. Similarly, the Gra goes the other way, that, very interesting, he says, after seven brachas you make on the night of Pesach, then you unveil the kala. Unveiling the kala means uncover the matzahs.
So you keep it covered up until that point.
Until that point, but once you reach that point, and the Gra counts as seven brachas. Now, he has a different count than we would, because he makes an alantia sedayim by karpas. But basically, his idea is, by the time you get for sure to achilas matzah, maybe even before, you uncover the matzahs, because after seven brachas, what do? You uncover the veil of the kala. Very interesting allusion between matzah and the kala.
If it's matzah Shabbos, it
screws up again. Okay, right? It could, perhaps. Halal, very interesting. A lot of people, one of the cheshbonos for running a Seder is you want to eat the afikomen before chatzos. People know about that. But really, there's another kpeda Shulchan Aruch talks about, is drinking the four cups, saying halal, before chatzos. So if you really want to do that, you really have to speed through. I know people that this is the best excuse to do it quick. Seder is I have to get through halal four cups before chatzos. However, the Gra has a fascinating idea they bring here on the bottom of the page that he doesn't talk about afikomen. Could be he was makban afikomen before chatzos. But it talks about the last two kozos, you would not be makbid to do those before kozos. Why? So he says a very interesting reason. The first two, he says there's a difference between the first two cups and the last two cups. The first two cups are about our geula from Mitzrayim. He understands that the last two cups are from our future geula. Here of Yemen. So Mimela, the Gra's understanding, is, okay, you have to get that in before Chatzos, because that's a time span that we're doing these mitzvahs, Zecher, the Tzias Mitzrayim. But since the last two kosas the Gra understands are for the Gula Asida, so that's not, there's no time constraints on that. That could be even after Chatzos. And therefore the Gra was in Mach, but for those to do afterwards. It's amazing.
Hey,
huh? About afikomen.
So afikomen, it's not in this particular piece. I didn't find. I could perhaps find another spot. Unless otherwise known, I assume it was makbid, but I don't know. But this time machine, as you put it, going back and understanding the Vilna Gaon, I think is something which is so fascinating. You know, it's always said over the minhagim of families are obviously very unique, but probably the one night a year that has been hugging shine and come out so distinct is the night of the Seder. And so obviously a special time, you have family together, you have those portraits, right? Family together by a Seder. And the more a person gives over minhagim, okay, this is the way we do it, I've heard about other people doing it this way, it just adds so much flavor and color to Baruch Hashem, our wonderful, beautiful Jewish religion. We feel proud, and really the night of the Seder is a night of tremendous pride. And look, when the world attacks us, all the more so, we need a Seder, we need to sit together and feel what it means to be the Am HaNivchar. And, you know, a little chizuk inside the little confines of your house could go do a lot with the walls caving in around us. But we appreciate where we come from. And the Hisha Amda La Hussein of Alanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stood by us throughout all the ages of Chol Dor V'Dor, Om Demolenu L'cha Hussainu. Some years you have to say, oh yeah, you know, there are these plots we don't know about. It's right there in the front, right? We never had Iran bomb the Jews of Israel before. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to the Gula, Shlema, and Meir of Yemenu.
Amen.
Chag Kashrut Sameach. Be'ezrat Hashem.